Church today. It's always good when people are chatting. As long as they're not chatting when I'm chatting, that's all good. You'll notice on the seat in front of you, on the back of it, there's several pieces of information there for you. One of them is a brochure which has next steps written on it. We'd like you to make sure you've taken one of those home. You've got it on your fridge. You've got it somewhere accessible that you can see. That brochure is just to explain what your next steps may possibly be at Impact Church. It's the path, the pathway that we've designed to help people navigate the spiritual journey that we're all on. I think oftentimes believers just get themselves a little bit lost in the turmoil of working out how to do life well with God. And this path we've developed so that there's little stations, there's things we do, like do a new Christian's class when you first give your life to Christ, get baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit, start to engage by going to a small group, just little things to do. And so we give it to you for your consideration, and not only consideration, also instruction. It's like when I go into a shopping center, first thing I look for is that big information booth with a map that says you are here, because I want to know where I am and I want to know how to navigate myself to the coffee shop or whatever it is that I want to go to, rather than waste my time when I go out shopping on a very rare occasion. So in church life, it's kind of the same. There's stations, there's points along the pathway. The first station is to have a real personal encounter with Jesus Christ. That's where this journey begins, of connecting in church life and belonging. It's to have a life-changing moment with Jesus. Here's the deal. If nothing's changed in your life, then nothing's changed. And you need to get a connection with God through Jesus Christ, which is freely available to every one of us. Once you've done that, the next step is to find freedom. It's to unpack the junk. And we've all got junk that we unpack, and I think we spend our entire life unpacking junk. And so that's a station that we visit frequently, is increasing our faith, growing in our faith, and settling all of our yesterdays and living free. God just wants you to be free. That's what God wants for every one of us. And then thirdly, and we're talking about this one a little bit today, God wants us to grow in our contribution, that we'd learn to be significant investors in the kingdom of God. We'd live to make a real difference in church world. That we would grow in our faith, our purpose, our serving, our caring, and also our sharing. And then finally, that we'd grow with our sense of influence as individuals and also as a church. I think the church should be the most influential community in the world, is what I think. And I thank God for mega churches. I thank God for large, large churches that bring national influence. But it's not only about the large, it's also about the medium and the small. Wherever two or three are gathered, the Bible says, there I am, God says, there I am in the middle of that. And so God's here today, no matter what the size of the crowd. Isn't that good news? Yes. So you're all on, we are all on a spiritual journey, and we just encourage you to take your next steps. So today is Gaining Ground Offering, Vision Offering Day. And gaining ground represents a number of different things to us as a church community. What I've really loved as we've prepared for this day is I've loved the God stories, the testimonies we've been playing on the screens of people who 12 months ago participated in this offering day, and where they're at today, what God has done, the little miracles. And, you know, miracles aren't always big things. Sometimes they're just little things you're believing for. And we encourage people as they come to this day to give and also to believe that God will give back and do great things, do things that will help us gain ground in life. And we've been hearing people's stories. We're going to hear some more of those at the conclusion of our service today. But I want to start by asking you the question, what could your life look like in 12 months' time? What could your life look like in 12 months' time? Not just because you're giving in an offering today, because obviously that's only a part of it. There's a lot of good decisions, a lot of good choices, a lot of good actions and behaviors that we need to take to help position and posture our life to be bigger and better in 12 months' time. For us as a church, for us to be bigger and better, for us to grow and develop in our influence and our reach and our sending ability as a church, for us to make a difference in our community right here that needs us. Do you know our city needs us? Our city needs us. Anyone else know that? Yeah. Our city needs us. Anyone else believe that? Yeah. Our city needs us. Anyone else believe that? Yeah. I believe that. I believe our city needs us. And they need us to be devoted to the house of God wholeheartedly. Our light boxes say it, fully devoted. It's like fully sick. Fully devoted we need to be to the house of God. That's what our community needs us to be. To grow and develop the influence of a church, that's what a church requires, is families and individuals to live and be fully devoted to the house of God. It doesn't mean you neglect everything else. It just means God takes first place and his house is very closely attached and meshed in with that relationship. It takes people to give. It takes people to contribute in a sacrificial way with a spirit of expectancy. Expectancy for their church. I'm excited today for our church to gain ground. But I tell you what, I'm just as excited for you and I, for us to gain ground. Gaining ground, as we've been saying, is not just for the church, it's for us as individuals to believe that we could gain ground. For Cheryl and I, we have been participating in this kind of offering for decades now. I was telling the team early this morning, it was decades ago that we began this practice on a yearly basis. We began it with an understanding of what the Bible teaches in the Old Testament regarding a special offering that was taken called first fruits offering, where the children of Israel were commanded above their normal tithes and their normal giving to bring a special tithe to the house of God, which was called the first fruits harvest, the first of the harvest of the new season. To bring it to the house of God, it would be brought to the priest, and the priest would use it and he would offer it to God and offer it as a wave offering before the Lord, and he would pray a prayer of blessing over the entire community for their obedience in bringing this special offering to the house of God. And the prayer was that as this is holy and set aside to God, that they would believe for the entire harvest to be blessed as a result of that. We for years have observed the basis that our understanding was that a first fruits offering would look something like, in our modern society, looks something like maybe a week's salary or something like that. So we started out on that basis. And I was telling the team, it was in 1986 that we did this for the first time, and gave in 1986 an offering of $1,000, which if, how many people were not even alive in 1986? Would you lift your hand? So we've been doing this for longer than you've actually been alive. In 1986, $1,000 was a lot of money. In 1986, you could buy a house for about $50,000. So do the math. Giving $1,000 back then was a big chunk of money, and then increased and increased and increased and continued to do it. And seeing God help us gain ground over the years in terms of just simply obeying him and honoring him in wanting to give and sacrifice towards him and also his house. And that's the kind of step, significant step, that we're going to endeavor to take today. So gaining ground offering for me, what it's all about is it's all about expansion. It's about those that call Impact Church their home, calling them to take a faith step to help us expand as a church community, to empower the church to be what the church was called to be. I love the fact that our church helps. We help people. We help people in significant ways. We can't always stand up here and tell you what we do in terms of helping people, but we have helped people in significant ways to move their life forward and help them to gain ground in their own personal world by what we're able to contribute to their lives and help them with. Gaining ground vision offering is not about what we give. It's about more about what God wants to actually do in us. That's an exciting part for me. The Bible teaches us as we come to God and give our best, he will open the windows of heaven and pour out his best. And God never stops that investment into our lives. Gaining ground for me is about building and leaving a legacy for others. The older I get, the more important legacy becomes. An inheritance becomes for my children and my children's children. The Bible actually says this in regards to leaving a legacy. It says that you're a wise man, Proverbs 13:22. The good man, the wise man, leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Not just to his children, but to his grandchildren. That's the kind of reach that the inheritance and legacy should have. Not just a financial legacy or a financial inheritance, but the strength of family, the strength of belief, the strength of faith that's imparted to the generation. Do you know God's plan is that each generation would build upon the last, and that we would give traction to the new generation that's emerging. In other words, we would help them to be the very best that they can, help them to take the gospel to the four corners of the earth, to go further than we've gone, to do better than we have done, to build bigger than we could ever imagine. We want to empower the next generation to do everything that they can. We're not here to take away from them. We're actually here to give towards the next generation. God thinks like that. He thinks like building generation upon generation to add strength to the church. Psalm 112 says this in verses 5 and 6. It is well. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous, listen to this, will never be shaken. He will be remembered forever. How many people in the room would like to be remembered forever? Would you put up your hand? You would like to be remembered forever. What about the rest of you? All those that want to be forgotten, put your hand up. Come on, we all want to be remembered. We want to be remembered forever. We want people to speak well of us. We want to leave a legacy. And our legacy is determined by how we live and how we give. By how we live and how we give, by what we leave behind in terms of the faith that we impart, the values that we bring to people, the value we bring to people, and what we contribute to the lives of those that are around us and that love us. There's a great quote, and I'm going to give it to you now. I read it this week. It says this. It says, what we do for ourselves usually dies with us. What we do for others will live beyond us. What we do for ourselves will often die with us. What we do for others lives beyond us. Gaining ground is a call to live beyond. To live beyond our own, can I call it small world? Because we really do live small worlds in the scheme of things. In the scheme of things, no matter how big we are or big we think we are, we live very small worlds, really. And this is a call to live beyond our own smallness, to connect with the greatness and the bigness and the immensity of God. As I said last week, it's about laying up treasure in heaven. It's about having internal focus. You're only on this earth for a short time. You're in eternity forever. This is just a dot. Eternity is a line. So as we talked about last week, it makes more sense to invest in the line of eternal life, not just the dot of this earthly life that we are now living. And to live on earth being rich towards God, not just rich towards ourselves, but rich towards God and pointing and posturing our hearts towards heaven. So what does it take is my question. What does it take to live and leave a legacy life, to live a life that will be forever remembered? The first thing it takes is this. It takes faith. It takes faith. If we're going to live a legacy life, we've got to see it. We need to see it. We need to see it. The Bible says faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance, the evidence of things not yet seen. To have faith means you see things others don't see. You see things that are not yet in existence. You see and you connect with a heart to believe that these things in life could happen, to believe that life could get better. Anyone believe that in the room today? To believe that life could get bigger, to believe that we could outgrow our issues and our problems, to see what others don't see. Gaining ground, legacy, vision, offering is about having a vision that outlives us. That's what legacy people see. They see beyond the normal. They see beyond the average. They see beyond the status quo. They see God doing good things. They see life getting better. They see church getting better. They see family getting better. They see relationship getting better. They see God turning things around. Legacy people see it. Legacy people say it. And legacy people sow it. So my question to you today is, what do you see? My question is, do you see what I see? Do you see? It's almost that season. Do you see what I see? Legacy people see things differently. What do you see about your life? What do you see about your family? What do you see about your relationships, your faith? What do you see for your church? What do you see? Can we get a little bit excited about what we see? Because seeing is where this all begins. It starts with having a spirit of faith. There's a man in the Bible, he's a king. His name's David. Most of you know of him well for his shortfallings, but also the highlights in his life. David, the Bible says, saw a house that he wanted to build for God. He saw a house he wanted to build for God. Up until this time, God's presence, the Ark of the Covenant, was transported and contained in a tabernacle of tents throughout the desert. And David's one day reclining back in his own fine house with everything perfect and sits back and thinks, I want to do something for God. I want to build God a house. And he started to see and imagine this vision and this house that he wanted to build for God. It was a vision that outlived him. It was a vision that was beyond him, the building of this house for God. But what he did was, once he saw it, he immediately postured and positioned his heart and everything he had towards the construction and the building of this house. And the Bible says he gave extravagantly, and he called others to contribute. Let me read this to you. It's 1 Chronicles 22:5. It says this. David said, my son Solomon, he's young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord should be of, listen to the words, great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all the nations. Therefore, because I see that vision, he says, I will make preparations for it. I want you to notice what David saw for the house of God. And we could consider that and look at that in light of the church today. He said it should be magnificent. It should be a place of splendor inside of all the nations. In other words, it should be the very best that it could possibly be. I've always wanted that for church. I've never wanted church to be a place that resembled a second-hand shop. Nothing wrong with a second-hand shop if you want a second-hand shop. But the church should never be a second-hand shop as a place for people to come to. It should be a place that people come to where they feel, in a sense, the presence of God represented in the way the place is presented. In the way the place is presented for people to come and people to worship. So David's vision was this. His vision was, this house that is going to be built should be splendiferous. That's my word. Splendiferous. It should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor all over the earth. So what does it take to build a legacy life? A life that will be remembered? You've got to see the vision. And see a vision that is bigger than you, that will outlive you. Secondly, not only do we need to see this and have faith, it takes sacrifice. It takes sacrifice. We pay the price. Every parent in the room understands what sacrifice is because you do it every day for your children. You do it every day for those around you. You do it every day for your family. You learn as a parent very quickly to deal with selfishness. Young toddlers teach you this, that you are now here to give towards them, to set them up for life. And can I just give a little promo here for every parent? It never stops. It never ends. We think in our dysfunctional state of being that it ends when they're 18. It never ends. Turn to your neighbor and say, just keep going. Keep going. Keep going. It's the way we're designed to live for others. It's all about sacrifice. I don't think there's anything significant that we can achieve in life without sacrifice. Ask any athlete. Ask anyone that's built and established anything that's impacted the world and made a difference. Take sacrifice. Ask Jesus Christ what it takes to be the savior of the world. There are some that want to be the savior of the world, but sacrifice? You mean I've got to sacrifice? Yes, sacrifice is what builds great things. So we sacrifice for the cause of Christ. We sacrifice for the person of Christ. We sacrifice to build a church for the future. We sacrifice to gain ground. That's what we do. When you want to build a home or buy a home, you sacrifice. You start to save and not go out. You can't go out to the movies every night of the week. You can't go out for dinner every night of the week. You've got to say no sometimes to things you want to do because your savings, and you have a savings program to buy a house or to buy a car. Or it's all about sacrifice. Life takes sacrifice. And so we sacrifice to build for others as a church. We sacrifice to build for others that are not here yet. I'm asking you to give today for others that are not even here. How's that? That's cool. That we would invest for those that are not yet here, to do something for the future. King David, he not only had a vision to build God's house, he sacrificed to build it. He sacrificed greatly. In 1 Chronicles 22:5, it says this. He says, therefore, I will make preparations for this house. And so David made extensive preparations before his death. And so the Bible says he contributed extensively to build God's house. In other words, he did all he could to set up the next generation. Here's the deal for David. He was never even going to see this house. He was never even going to worship in this house. He wasn't going to have a seat in the special section for those that gave more. There is none in this church, but he wouldn't even have a special seat. He'd never even visually see the house or listen to the worship or be involved in it at all. He was giving for what his son Solomon would do in the future, and he's excited about playing a part in this plan. You know, gaining ground, what that does is gaining ground thinks big, and gaining ground thinks for the future. It thinks for the future of God's house and the future of God's people. There are people in this house that are no longer in this house that have given for this house and sacrificed and laid a foundation for this house, for the future generations that would come. That's how we live our lives. And I believe that the church deserves our best contribution. It deserves extravagant preparation is what it calls for. It deserves the finest that we can provide for our children and our children's children. The best technology, the best that we can possibly do, the best services that we can possibly provide, that we in a modern day context would have a house that's attractive and a house that is magnificent, that it's an exciting place for all ages, for old people, for young people, for not so old people and not so young people, for the people that aren't even here yet, for all of us, that we would make the church the best place for each other to possibly be. And so our attitude needs to be that God's house deserves the best. Yeah. It deserves the best. It deserves the best from every one of us. It deserves the best for our children. It deserves the best for young adults, for the young at heart, and for the future generations. So today I'm asking you to keep your mind open to the possibilities that seem impossible. I'm asking you not to excuse yourself today saying, I can't afford it. It's not literally about the amount. It's about the heart that leans in and postures today. I'm asking you to be creative and think of ways that you can afford it. Because I can't afford it. But I can't afford not to. I cannot afford not to lean my heart and posture my heart. So when it comes to sacrifice, sacrifice calls us to take steps, believing that God will meet us every step of the way. Sacrifice says to us, I will pay the price no matter what the price is. That's what David said. Not only do I see the house, I'm now going to sacrifice towards this house. So what does it take to live a life that is a legacy life, a gaining ground life, a life that will be remembered forever? Well, it takes faith, it takes sacrifice. And then thirdly and lastly, it takes generosity. It takes generosity. We give it. We give it. Here's the thing with a gift. A gift is not a gift until you've given it. A gift is not a gift until you've given it. And so today we have a moment where we're going to give it. And we're going to release it into the hands of God. And we've made extensive preparations, all of us have, in our own way. And we're going to bring it and we're going to give it and present the gift to God. Psalm 112 verse 9 says, they share freely. This is the righteous. They share freely and give generously to those in need. And their good deeds will be remembered forever. And they will have influence and honor. The way that we give determines the influence and the honor we will have and the remembrance that we will enjoy. And I want to encourage us to be the righteous ones today and to do the very best that we can. So gaining ground, it's about bringing our best offering. Every week we bring our tithes to the house of God and we honor God financially. And I thank God every week for what our church does because we are amazing in what we do together collectively. And I honor you and I respect you greatly and I speak of that highly when I travel to other churches about how well you do in that regard as a church community. But today's above and beyond our tithes. This is a special above and beyond offering. Part of what we're doing with the project for this offering today, one of the big projects that we're doing is we're going to put a sign at the front of our church, which we've wanted for some time. We didn't want just a static sign that just said Impact Church, because that's all it could say. We wanted a sign that was like a TV, literally. So we've got a sample out the front so you could see it of the kind of sign front that we want to have. It's a big LED screen. The actual sign that we're going to get is a little bit bigger than that one in terms of the screen height. And we're getting two screens mounted on a V-shaped setup that'll be about 3-4 meters in the air. And you'll see it from both sides of the road as you approach. It enables us to advertise our church. It enables us to advertise our cafe. It enables us to advertise any special events that we host, put people's faces up there, whatever we want to do, literally. And we wanted to have the best sign in the street. Because I just figured if David was going to put a sign up outside the house that he wanted to build, what kind of sign would he put up there? What kind of sign would he put up there? He would put the best that he could possibly get. And so the sign we're going to put up there is billboard quality. It's the best sign that we could source to put up out there. And part of the funds from today's offering is going to go towards that and then other projects that we have in mind throughout the year. So this gaining ground offering means we give big. It means we give big today. I am unashamed and unapologetic in bringing this to our church every year because I believe and I understand and I know that this builds people as much as it builds the house of God. So I'm asking this. I'm asking that we don't come with a poverty mentality today and excuse ourselves and exclude ourselves. But whatever we do come with, we believe it's the best we could do. The best we could do. That's what we do. We come with the best that we can do in our own circumstances and our own different and varied situations. I'm asking you to come with big vision, big hope, and to give big, to come with a vision that will outlive you today is what I'm asking you to do. Thinking big and planning to give big. 1 Chronicles 29, where I've been reading verses 1 to 9 about David, it says this once again. And David the king said to all the assembly, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, he's young and he's inexperienced. Can I stop right there? All of our sons and daughters are young and inexperienced. It doesn't mean they're silly. It just means they're young and inexperienced. The only way you break through the threshold of being young and inexperienced is to grow old and get some experience. And the best thing those that are old and experienced can do is help those that are young and inexperienced to give them opportunity and empowerment, to release them and to set them up for success. That's what David wanted to do. And it says, the work is great, for the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord God. So I have provided for the house of my God so far as I was able. And then it talks about the extensive gifts that he was about to bring. Then it says, moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have my own treasure of my own gold and silver. And because of my devotion, key words here, because of my devotion to the house of my God, I will give it to the house of my God. And then it describes the ridiculous amount that the king of Israel gave towards the building of this house that he wanted to build. And then he asks the question of all the leaders of the different tribes. He says, who then will offer willingly, consecrating themselves today to the Lord? And then the leaders of the fathers' houses made their free will offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes and the commanders of thousands and of hundreds and the officers over the king's work. They gave for the service of the house of God. And then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, and with the whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. And David the king also greatly rejoiced. David here is talking about not only his investment as the king, but also his investment from his private treasury that he would give towards the building of the house of God. Now David was wealthy and he gave extravagantly. I understand we're not all Davids, but I understand some of us are Davids. And that means this is not about equal giving. David did not ask anyone to match his gift. Notice that. He didn't ask that. He just said, do the best you can. And so today it's not about matching the gift that Cheryl and I give. It's not about matching anyone else's gift. So this is a totally guilt-free offering today that we give willingly. And whatever you bring, bring it with a rejoicing heart, knowing, God, this is the best I can do. And so I'm doing it with a great spirit and a great attitude. David said, I give because of my devotion. See, giving is all about devotion. We give what we are devoted towards. And so in some senses, it's not really about the amount. It's about heart. But don't ever let that thought excuse us from the amount. Because I believe as the responsibilities of life increase us, we should be like a David and do the very best that we can. So David called others, he rallied them and said, who's willing to join me? And others got on board and they gave you this great legacy offering. So today, bring your best and consider it the best that you can do, and the best is enough, and rejoice in your offering. And that's what we plan to do today, because as we do that, we rejoice in God, is what we do. So it's not about equal giving, it's about equal sacrifice. And finally, gaining ground for me, it's about building your house as much as it is building the house of God. And that's our God story, and that's our testimony over the years, is that God has built our house as we have focused on building his house. When I first went into ministry and went to train in Bible college, my mum and dad didn't think that we would ever own a house because we were going into the ministry. And back in those days, the mentality of those that went into ministry was you got paid nothing, you were going to serve the Lord, and you were going to buy secondhand clothes the rest of your life and you know, drive a bomb of a car and all of this. And certainly we have done that in different stages of our life, like everybody has. Driven cars that should never be on the road. Gone without carpets in houses because we could only afford cement. And that's before it was trendy. Cement floors and shopped at secondhand shops and secondhand furniture for years and years and years and years. Is what we had. But God enabled us to buy our first house. We left Bible college in 1989. We had $1,000 and a JB Camira. In other words, we were in big debt and a baby. And that was the total investment that we had at that time because we'd spent everything to train ourselves in ministry. And then it was only just a few years later that God enabled us to buy our house. And it didn't mean we owned the house. It just meant we had a big debt and somewhere to live, and we were responsible for it. And God has been faithful over and over again as we have moved life forward and gained ground. And I want to encourage you today that that's what God does. He builds our houses. We think we're building his house, and yes, we are, but he is very much building our house, and he will never stop that. He will build our house. 2 Samuel says this way. Listen to this. I love this. I love this. I've got to finish with this. It says, now it came to pass, when the king, that's David, same king, when the king was dwelling in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all of his enemies around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, he said, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains. And then Nathan said to the king, the prophet kind of spoke too quickly here, he said, go and do whatever's in your heart, for the Lord is with you. But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, God said, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? Question mark. I want you to understand today, when God sent Nathan the prophet back after David had said, you know, I really want to build God a house. I'm living in this really cool place, enjoying peace and prosperity. God's outside living in a tent. I want to build him a house. It's impressive. And the prophet says, do it. Do whatever's in your heart. God's with you, king. But then God speaks to the prophet and says, David, is he going to build me a house? And the question is not asked in terms of, would you build me a house? The question is asked, you think you're going to build me a house? I'm actually going to build you a house, is what God is saying. And if you keep reading the passage, what God meant was not a physical house, but he says, I'm going to build your family. And I'm going to guarantee you that your family will be on the throne forever. And it will be an everlasting kingdom, right down to Jesus, who is called the Son of David. That's why he's called the Son of David. The everlasting kingdom of Jesus Christ in the line of David. God the Father says, I'm going to build you a house by giving you a family dynasty of royalty that will forever reign. And of this kingdom, there will be no end. Here's the deal. How many people in the room have watched Oprah? If you've ever watched Oprah, lift up your hand if you're not too embarrassed to lift it up. And you've seen Oprah have those giveaway days where you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. And you're all sitting there thinking, oh, gee, I wish I had a car. That's kind of like what God is like when we come with our gaining ground offering and we're presenting it to the Lord. It's kind of like we think we're building God a house. God sits back and says, you get a house, you get a house, you get a house, you get a house, you get a house. Not that he's going to give you a house, but he's going to build your life. He's going to build your faith. He's going to build your family. He's going to build your church. And he's going to build your world.